This is today, November 26th. We are at 8:33 Eastern Time. This is the regular session of the National Finance Committee. R. Paul, will you call roll?
Okay, please answer up when you hear your name. Paul DiRienzo. Lyndon Foley.
Here.
Kamal Harris.
I'm here.
Christina Huggins.
I am here.
R. Paul Martin here. Stephen Meeks.
Here.
Darlene Pagano.
Here.
Myla Reason.
I'm here.
Minerva Sanders.
Present.
Susan Young.
Present.
Okay, that's nine, and that's a quorum.
We have others.
And let me ask, is there anybody, is the executive director here?
Yes.
Okay. Are there any directors who are not members of the committee who are present?
I am expecting one, R. Paul, but I do not see them on the roster yet.
Okay, you'll just let us know when they show up. All right, that's it. You got a quorum.
Thank you, everyone. Let's see. Back to the agenda. I will read out the draft agenda for those listening, and we will approve or not at the end. We are at the approval of the draft agenda. Next, we will have the minutes approval. We have two sets, November 12th and November 19th, 2024. We have an executive director report with Stephanie Wells. Next, we will have the presentation and review of the Pacifica National Office 2025 budget presented by Stephanie Wells, executive director. Then the vote to approve or decline approval of the PNO budget, Pacifica National Office budget, to pass to the PNB, the Pacifica National Board. Nine, we have a motion coming in. The motion is from Christina Huggins, and it is a motion to bring to the PNB, along with the PNO budget, a process for instituting central service payments for fiscal year 2025. And that's 15 minutes. I'm sorry, I wasn't saying the amount of time given earlier. As we get done with all of that, that's an hour and 15 minutes of time assigned. We then have an opportunity to return to a topic that we were discussing to familiarize ourselves and get square with the central services formulas. After that, if there's time, can't imagine that there will be, we do have a couple of agenda items that follow us along for as time needed. And then we expect to adjourn. It is an estimated time of 10:35 Eastern. Do we have any objection from the committee of the agenda for tonight?
R. Paul. Whoops.
Okay,
R. Paul for something here.
Paul, go ahead.
Okay. How about we lose the time of 2 minutes for roll call and the time for approved draft agenda, because, you know, the agenda can't set a time for something that hasn't happened before the agenda's been passed. Also, how about agenda approval instead of approved draft agenda? Because if you... saying you approve draft agenda sounds like we're going to keep a draft agenda, but approve agenda means something
else. Please put it in the minutes as you suggested.
Okay. That's all I had. Thank you.
Okay. Next item, we have...
Oh, well, we have to approve it.
Thank you.
No objection.
Okay. Thank you. We're hearing no objection. We go on to the minutes approval. ARPOL sent out the minutes of November 12th and November 19th meetings. Again, we can approve or question now if anything is found later to be necessary to be brought up. We can at future time. On the November 12th minutes, are there any objections to those minutes? Hearing none, they are approved. We now ask if we can approve the minutes of November 19th, 2024. Are there any objections, questions, whatever, about this budget tonight? Excuse me. I know, our minutes, not a budget, that's later, sorry. The minutes of November 19th. Hearing none, thank you all. We will consider those minutes approved. Stephanie Wells is here tonight, identified herself, and there is a short ED report. The ED report that we got last week is still the active ED report, except that the fact that for the PNB meeting of Thursday the 21st, 2 days after our last meeting, Stephanie did add an item, and that item will be her ED report tonight, because we've all heard everything else. So we'll just stick with the ED, with her addition. Stephanie, are you there and ready to go on?
Yes.
Please do.
The one thing that was added from last week and the ED report that you received, this ED report that was sent and reviewed to the PMB meeting on November 21st, is that we did finally receive a statement from FJC regarding our loan as of dated November 30th, even though, yes, I know this toward the end of the month, but the loan is going to be billed out quarterly, so we got new paperwork with that. After the amount that we paid to them from the sale of the Los Angeles building, our total outstanding principal is $1,945,201.40. We'll have our first quarterly payment we will have a payment due December 31st of $29,991.88. Everything else in the report, as Darlene said, remains the same. The known aged payables as of 11/21/24 is equal to $660,409. We have not any sort of additional major funding from the proceeds of the sale of the building that was deposited after the payment of the lien.
Is that it, Stephanie, for the report?
Yes.
Okay. ARPOL, I'm going to ask a question. Do you have your hand up? Is that what I'm seeing on this dashboard?
No, not me.
Okay, I appreciate it. Okay. Then,
there's a way to raise your hand in Maestro?
It looks as if it is. I will
Oh, there
not.
Is a way. I don't know. I'm not raising my hand. Whatever.
Thank you, ARPOL. Is there any question on what Stephanie just gave in the report?
ARPOL, for just some clarification.
For the ED report, right, ARPOL?
Yes, for the executive director's report. Okay, so the last bit there, the accounts payable is $862,000, is that it?
C409.
Okay, so it's 862-409?
660-409.
Okay. All right.
Stephanie, okay. There's a tiny breakup on your sound. That's why you're going to be asked to repeat things. Go ahead.
Okay.
Purple.
Okay, so are we going to get a full breakdown of that?
It's in the ED report that was sent out.
Okay, so this is from last, that part is from last week.
The report that was sent out to the PNB on the 21st, that which was last Thursday, is the ED report that was sent out to the NFC for this meeting.
So there won't be a new ED report out, ARPAL, until the next PNB meeting.
Well, this is new to the extent. Yeah, I mean, this is new to the extent that I don't create an ED report that's updated for the NFC until certain information has been shared with the PNB. So
right.
The NFC usually receives the ED report from the most recent PNB meeting. So the ED report that was provided for tonight's meeting is from the PNB meeting, which was this past Thursday.
Thank you. Thank you. All right, Stephanie, Madam Chair,
Susan.
Susan, go ahead.
Thank you. I wanted to make a request to Stephanie. You know, we had some conversation at the last meeting about, you know, providing bank statements, I think, to Kamau and I think to WBAI. I would request that be the general practice for all stations if there's no problem with that.
No, none whatsoever.
Great. Thank you.
And so
the general managers have access to the bank accounts as well. But I sent a year's worth of bank statements to WBAI, but all the general managers can log into their own bank accounts and pull that as well. But I can send it out as well.
It would be nice if you could send it to the treasurers.
Will do.
Great.
Question?
Go ahead, ARPAL, treasurer.
Yeah, okay. Actually, we had a little short discussion of this a meeting or two ago. These bank statements, though, are not for the public, right?
Correct.
Right, okay.
Are they for the rest of the governance of Pacifica?
I'm sorry, what was that? Are they?
Are they available or can be shared with the rest of governance at Pacifica, meaning the entire LSBs?
Sure. I mean, I go through the bank statements, at least when I send them out. So it's probably better that I do send them out. When I send them out, I go through and redact the account number information and anything that's, you know, like if money is transferred from one account to another account for payroll, for example, I redact that information for fear if there's a possibility or a chance that the statements are accidentally sent to an email list or something where it shouldn't be. I just want to make sure that our bank account numbers are not out floating in the general public.
Well,
thank you.
If this is released to the LSBs, I kind of suspect it's going to get to the general public in some cases. But anyway, all right. So this will be something that goes only to governance, and that's the extent of it. Thank you.
Thank you, ARPAL. Stephanie, you are now up. There's no one else on the stack, right? No one waiting to be called. Okay. We're now at the Pacifica National Office. budget, a draft budget for proposed budget for our fiscal year 2025, which we are already in. So if folks can bring that up for themselves, make sure it's in front of you. And Stephanie, go right ahead.
Pardon me.
Yes.
Darlene, could somebody send that to me? I did not receive a copy of it.
Susan, do you have the bandwidth to do that?
Yeah, I think so.
I appreciate
it. This is Kamau. I don't have a copy either.
Okay, so I'll forward both of them. Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And let me take one moment, Stephanie. Draft agenda. Here are the draft minutes. All three budgets, current motion. Oh, heck. P&O, draft budget, fiscal year 2025. Folks, it's at message number 2076. 2076 in the listserv for the National Finance Committee. Okay, Stephanie, I'll try not to interrupt one more time. Go ahead, please. Okay.
Hello?
Okay, hold on. I wasn't, didn't hear anything happening. Stephanie is still on the line. Go ahead, Stephanie.
Okay. What we're focusing on is the column that is highlighted E, which is fiscal year 25 proposed. And again, as we said before, but I'll just reiterate, as with any of these budgets, it's a work in progress. It's a living document that we will review and adjust accordingly as we move throughout the year. And this is particularly true with the national office because a lot of the revenue, of course, is based upon the receipt of central services. But if we see that there's certain stations that aren't paying, then, you know, we will continue to then reach out for other major donor income or grant income or sponsorship underwriting.
May I stop you for a moment to ask a question? I'm sorry.
Go ahead, Michael.
Thank you. I thought I heard you say that we were focusing on column E. And which tab are we talking about? Because I am finding a blank column E on what I'm looking at.
Okay.
Madam Chair, perhaps I can forward mine to Lila as well.
Can I just ask? Excuse me. Let me just ask. Can I just clarify, please? I downloaded the attachment that was sent just before this meeting with the spreadsheet. It has several tabs, and it is titled P&O Consolidated June 24. Is that the correct document?
The next tab is September 23rd.
There are tabs at the bottom. Which tab am I to open?
I believe, Myla, you might be possibly looking at the consolidated financials for the third quarter, June. So the one you're looking at would have multiple tabs on the bottom for each division.
Right. So which division are we looking at now? Or which?
We are not looking at that document. We're looking at the P&O fiscal year 24 projected, the P&O projected fiscal year 25 proposed. Fiscal year 24 proposed.
Okay, so I haven't received that either. So if whoever's sending them, please.
Madam Chair, I just sent it to Myla.
Thank you.
Could I ask the chair, when was this sent out?
Well, hold on. When is that 2076? I'm trying to juggle a few too many things. What was the number I just gave as the message in which it was? On the 19th, it was sent out.
November 19th.
Oh, great. Now I...
Madam Chair? Madam Chair? Should I resend this to everybody? I found it in the 19th.
Oh, I got it. Yes. Okay.
2076.
I don't think anybody goes by those numbers.
But I'm trying to help people out to go exactly to the right place. 2076. Anybody not find a P&O proposed budget? Okay, I think we're having just a little trouble with our audio, perhaps not hearing any other objections or questions. Please resume, Stephanie.
The National Office does not get listener support, so on line 4, that is listed as a blank. Corporate match, we didn't really make an active outreach for corporate match, so we have started reaching out to different companies and letting them know that, you know, put us in their corporate matching program or introducing ourselves to HR departments, that kind of thing. So we're projecting or proposing for this upcoming fiscal year $5,500. Major donor income, we're anticipating and projecting out $15,000. General donations is we're proposing $145,000. For the subcarrier rent income, that's slowly been dwindling over the years. We do invoice the three people or the three organizations that there is subcarrier income, but we've only this past year only received a few payments. We did receive some past due payments from people that they sent in, but it is slowly dwindling. So we did propose $45,000 for that. That may change. It may be less. Grant income, we're proposing $65,000. Sponsorship underwriting, $75,000. We did receive some sponsorship and underwriting for national programming this year. So we are anticipating that the total revenue without central services will be $350,500 for fiscal year 25. As we look at the central services, those numbers were pulled from the approved budgets for each of those divisions. So for fiscal year 25. So for the affiliate network, $35,000. KPFA, $415,992. KPFK, $179,855. KPFT, $87,600. WBAI, $193,092. WPFW, $208,133. For proposed central service revenue, again, based upon the budgets that were approved for fiscal year 25 for each of the divisions, $1,119,972. So that, with the revenue from donations, underwriting, and grant support, has a total revenue of $1,470,172. Personnel costs, we have for fiscal year 25, $555,700. That's an increase from prior because we have added added people to the Arthur, for example, our general counsel, has been added into our personnel costs. We have administrative expenses, nothing for board expenses. Usually that covers the elections, but there won't be an election next year, so that's at zero. Administrative expenses, $431,000. Programming expenses, $75,000. We're anticipating increasing the national programming going out. Development expenses, $850,000, for total operating expenses of $1,062,550, with a net income of $407,622. That's, again, with hope and anticipation. That would be as if we received central service payments from everyone. As we break the expense details down, the salary is all pretty, you know, basic with payroll taxes and health benefits and things like that. but the total salaries breaks down to 5 full-time employees and 2 part-time employees. Again, national with the board expenses at 0 because we don't have an election coming up. For administrative expenses, that too is all pretty basic. The consultants, temps, and contractuals, we also cover Mo's salary. So he's listed as a contract consultant. He might be moving into the salaried world, so that then would wipe that out and move that up into the administrative. Professional fees, legal. There are times that we need to hire mediators for any sort of arbitration we're doing or hire outside counsel if it's where we have a case in an area that Arthur can't work, but we do get incredible discounts when we do hire outside counsel. But just to be on the safe side, we put in $70,000. That may be less, that may be more, we'll see. The audit fees, $115,000. Payroll charges, $35,000. Insurance expenses, we do need to bring back our insurance, so that's $125,000. Interest banking charges, $45,000. Office expenses and supplies, $5,000. Computer supplies or maintenance, $1,000. Taxes and fees, $6,500. Nothing for office rent. We do have some in the past line items because we have absorbed paying the rent for KPFK and the archives right now. And the total admin that adds up to our total administrative expenses of $431,000. For programming, again, we did increase that programming line of $75,000 with the anticipation of being able to increase our national programming, but we would hope to offset that with underwriting and sponsorships. So total programming expenses for next year, $75,000. And development expenses, we just have credit card discount fees of $850,000.
Dollars.
Dollars, not thousands.
$850, I'm sorry.
So back up to the top, net income and revenue. Okay. I'll take a stack for questions for Stephanie on this budget.
Sure. This is Lyndon.
Go ahead, Lyndon.
Hi, Stephanie. I'm interested in line 63 and 64, the insurance expense, and then the interest in bank charges. Could you enlighten us a little bit on those two categories?
So the insurance and expense, the insurance expenses that we need to purchase are directors and officers insurance, casualty, liability, media liability. So we haven't had that insurance this last year because it was canceled. So we've still been in the process of trying to find an insurance company that would be willing to cover us. And we're just anticipating, based upon information that I've received from insurance companies on what that cost would be, but there's been quite a few that haven't been willing to cover us. It will average most likely $125,000. It may be a bit more.
And then the next line?
The bank charges are just the generic bank charges that we receive as we're, this also includes any sort of PayPal fees and with donations and funds that are coming in.
Well, I was looking at it, it said interest, like bank charges, you know, I divided that by 12, that's, you know, $3,750 a month for just bank charges.
That's average what we've had. I mean, if you look at sort of the actuals from the last 2 years, it's been much more. But I'm just basing that off of the actuals that we have so far.
Okay. And so is that doesn't include what the individual stations pay for banking, right?
Correct.
Okay. Thank you.
Myla for the stack?
You are on the stack, Myla. Go ahead.
Oh, thank you. I have a couple of questions. First line 12, and you might have stated that it is SCA rent income of $50,000. I didn't hear an explanation of what SCA is. That's my first question.
Subcarrier account.
Oh, okay. Thank you. And then on line 15, you list individual donations to the Pacifica National Office of $45,000. And I'm kind of curious about, I know we've had some confusion in the past at various stations where people thought that they were giving a donation that entitled them to membership rights, specifically for the right to vote in elections, only to find out that their donations had gone to Pacifica rather than to the station that they thought they were supporting. And so I'm wondering if you have something in place now to make sure to check with donors to make sure that they that their intention was to donate to Pacifica as a whole, as opposed to donating to the radio station that they listen to. So I'm wondering if you've put some kind of a system in place to make sure that you are not necessarily crediting the wrong unit.
When checks come in and there is a name on the check, a person's name, and it is what we do because I'm the one that deposits the checks that come into the national office. So I look at every check. A lot of the payments that we receive are from just generic, like Absolute Charities. They're from United Way. They're from a Schwab Trust with no name connected to it. And it'll just say to Pacifica Foundation, where is needed most, donor is anonymous. If the check has a name on it, or it's a check that's coming from, a bank, and it says, please apply to account donor, and then it lists that person's name, I will scan the check and send it to the unit and ask if this is someone that's in their donor database. I also look at the basic cities. So if we get something, for example, that's a check and the person lives in Norco, but it's made out to the Pacifica Foundation, I know that Norco would be in Southern California. So then I'll reach out to the station and ask if this person is in their donor database. This is where it's going to be very helpful for me to be able to have access to everybody's donor database. And then that if I will then mail the check to that station, or what we'll do is deposit it. And every check that's deposited also is scanned, and those images are sent to Markeisha. And then it's broken down where it says the total deposited today was, $88.40. Five of it is to go to WBAI. $11.80 is to go to KPFK, and then it gets transferred accordingly. If it's a check, for example, with KPFA, I drop them in the mail, and we don't cash them. We mail them off to KPFA.
Thank you.
Madam Chair, Susan to the stack.
Okay, we're going nice and slow. Go ahead, Susan.
Sure. So I've got two questions. One, the problem that Myla has raised, I would hope that if somebody is a donor, says, I gave, that would be able to be tracked down and these folks credited in order to be able to vote. I hope that having the Allegiant system up current will permit us to do a better job. Is that true?
That's exactly the case, because if somebody sends a check and there's a name connected to it and it just says where needed most, I still want to double check to make sure that they didn't anticipate where needed most meant where needed most to KPFT, but it's not listed anywhere on the check. So by having access to Allegiance and making sure that people's Allegiance accounts are up to date, I can then look up that donor and see if the name is in the database, double check what city they live in, because we don't always have cities connected to the check, and also if they've donated in the past and who they've donated to. And then if it's a question, then and there's contact information in Allegiance, then I can reach out to them not only to send a thank you note and a tax acknowledgement letter, but then to also make sure that they're credited to the correct station.
Okay, my second question has to do with subcarrier revenue, rent income. And I see that in 2022, it was $124,000. 2023, $89,000, projected 2024, $57,000, budgeted $45,000. So you have, there was a question at the on the national board about what the trajectory has been on this. So I am hoping, and I'm making this note to Darlene, that this information will satisfy that request. Also, the $45,000 comes from more than one station area, and as I understand it, the managing the subcarrier relationships falls on the central office, so you keep those income, that income at the central office. However, can you give us a rough estimate of what the station areas are that have the subcarrier relationships still?
We had relationships. There were four total. We had one station in Houston, two stations in New York, and one station in Los Angeles. We are currently getting, we bill all of them every single month, and we've been doing that now for almost 2 years. Most of the stations have gone out of business or they can't afford to pay, and we receive occasionally a check from one station in New York.
So it's $45,000.
What I want to do on the budget is soft credit those stations, so then people have a better understanding that that station is based out of New York or that station is based out of Houston.
Okay, so but you're basically only getting money from New York, is that correct?
Correct.
Okay, so the full $45,000 would be from New York?
If someone by chance sends us another check, I mean, we haven't seen a check from, the station in Los Angeles is now closed. We haven't seen any money from the Houston station in quite some time. I think they randomly sent a check maybe 6 or 7 months ago, but it was a note that they were going out of business. And then we received, out of the two stations in New York, we've only received a check recently from one of them. One of them hasn't been paying. So some of some people have sent past due money because we were covering the costs of running those signals for quite a few years. I guess during COVID,
so
they were
covering the cost of running
those. They didn't have to pay.
We're covering the cost of those signals. Where are those costs incurred?
In the national office.
In the national office. So this is basically compensating expenses incurred by the national office.
Correct, because it also, like in Houston, for example, there's a fiber drop to the transmitter. I mean, I'm only sort of reading off of reports that I get from John Amella, who also manages the subcarrier, the relationships with the subcarrier, is that we're paying for that fiber drop to the transmitter for the Houston subcarrier station.
Okay, thanks. Sorry, needed to have a better understanding.
I have a question, Stephanie, because I got a little lost. The line here that was just being discussed under revenue, is that line 8, 45,000?
Correct.
Yes. Thank you. Anyone else on the staff?
Yes, this is Linda, and I'll ask another question if nobody else wants to go.
Right. Go ahead.
All right. looks to me like the elephant in the room is the central services. And, you know, without that, it's going to you know, really wreck your budget. So we're 2 months in. What have you received? And all the, we just had went through all the budgets, right? And
yes.
Didn't all the stations budget for paying central services, and they weren't all of them in the black?
Correct.
So
we're receiving central service payments on a regular basis from KPFT, KPFA, and the affiliates.
Okay, so we have three stations that budgeted to pay the central services, and they have not done it yet. Thank you.
Madam Chair, on the stack, Susan. Yeah, Stephanie, something that would be very helpful. I see that we have, you know, that yes, we approved balanced budgets that include central services, and we understand that those are a plan and that we're going to need to be making careful monitoring quarterly to see how everybody is doing relative to plan. But can you let us know, I don't think we've received the fourth quarterly financials yet, for FY 2024, where do all the stations stand in terms of paying their central services? Which stations have paid them completely? Which stations have paid them partially? And which stations are seriously in arrears?
Stephanie, we can't hear you if you're still here.
Okay, sorry, I had it muted. A central service payment chart was sent out to the for a November National Finance Committee meeting. I'm just looking at what the title was at the time. But for fiscal year 24, KPFA started paying in January. And they pay regularly twice a month. The check is automatically pulled from their account per their request and sent to us. KPFK has not paid at all. KPFT has paid their full amount the entire year. The affiliate network, they've paid consistently. Sometimes we didn't pull payments or ask them for payments for April, May, June, or July, and that was because they cover the cost of managing and maintaining the AudioPort website. But after having discussions with Ursula at the affiliates, is that AudioPort is really something that benefits the entire network. And that's something that all of our stations, including the affiliate stations. So rather than having the affiliate network bear that cost, since they manage it and do the maintenance aspect of it, we, the national office, I said that we would pick up the cost of helping manage and maintain that site. So we told them that they didn't have to pay central services in lieu of the bill, so that they were paying the monthly bill, and then we subtracted that from what would be owed from central services. WBAI has not paid in a year. WPFW paid from October through March, and then they have been unable to pay since then.
So KPFT has paid all year. Given the, you know, shifting around, the affiliates are essentially current. KPFK has not paid. WBAI has not paid. KPFA is partial year, and WPFW is partial year. Is that correct?
Correct.
Okay. Thank you.
Is that a satisfactory answer for you, Lyndon? as well?
Well, yes. I just wanted to to see how people are following through on their budgeted numbers. And, of course, I know Stephanie's going to have to adjust her situation. Mm-hmm. I mean, I have to adjust things to the situation as is. And I am, of course, you know, not happy that people would put a budget out there and say they're going to pay it, and then 2 months later or, you know, 3 weeks later, they're not doing it. It's really disconcerting. Thank you.
You're welcome. Are we complete with our questioning for understanding the budget for the Pacifica National Office? We actually are just a few minutes over the time that I gave to this, so we're doing okay on time.
Madam Chair?
Go ahead, Susan.
I move approval to forward the P&O 2025, draft 2025 budget for approval by the PNB.
Do I hear any objection or question on that?
Question, how about something on the order of to approve the draft FY25 National Office budget and send it to the PNB? Would that be?
I like your wording better. That's great. Thank you. I have no objection to that being the way it's reflected in the minutes.
Anybody else have something they want to get out, get on the record? Okay. That said, we're calling for the vote now. Susan, go ahead and ask it the way you asked it before.
So, Arpal, would you be kind to reread the way you framed the motion?
Okay, hold on a second. I'm trying to juggle things because this is an agenda item that we just jumped right into. So give me a second, and I will paste that and make it so I'll notice it. And okay, where did I put? Okay. To approve the draft FY25 National Office budget and send it to the PNB.
Okay, this is the big vote. Do we have any objections to that approval? Hearing none, the Pacifica National Office budget has been approved unanimously by the NFC and now will be passed to the PNB, who doesn't have a meeting, help me out here, Susan, until December 5th?
December 5th, right.
Okay, so we will ask to have it on the December 5th agenda of the National. Madam Chair,
yes. It was passed without objection, which is not the same as unanimously. So passed without objection is how to put it.
Oh, is it? Okay, thank you. In other words, we can say we had no objections to this budget. Okay. Thank you all. That was informative. We have, actually, I'm considering it tied to this whole issue of sending the National Office budget on up to the PNB. And that is my understanding of the motion that was sent in, and Christina Huggins will be carrying that motion. It is in the appendix, and it has to do with the whole issue of the PNB's approval, and might there be an addendum to that. Christina, would you like to Do people need it read out loud since it's sitting right there in the appendix? Or
sure.
It should be read out loud.
Yeah, for the listeners. Would you like to read it out loud, Christina? Or
I would love to do that.
Good.
Okay. The Pacifica National Finance Committee urges the Pacifica National Board to pass the following motion regarding the fiscal year 25 central service fees. Whereas the Pacifica National Board, PNB, has passed budgets for the 2025 fiscal year for KPFA, KPFK, KPFT, WPFW, WBAI, and the Pacifica affiliates. Therefore, be it resolved that the PNB hereby directs the Pacifica Executive Director to communicate to all division management and members of the National Finance Committee that the central services formula for the fiscal year of 2025 will be the amount designated as projected central services revenue from each station as specified in the PNO FY25 proposed budget set November 19, 2024, and as specified in the division's PNB-approved FY25 budget for KPFA, KPFK, KPFT, WPFW, WBAI, and the Pacifica affiliates. And be it further resolved that the fiscal year 25 division projected budgeted funds for central service fees will be divided into 12 monthly payments or 24 bi-monthly payments for the fiscal year of 2025, and that Pacifica management is hereby authorized to provide direct oversight to division management to ensure timely payment for all FY25 budgeted central service fees. Thank you.
Would you like to motivate, Christina?
I think this one of the main things is we've passed all the budgets based on what the budgets were predicated on. It makes sense to do this. We can always re-examine the foundation next year, and if we want to change things, we can do that. But for now, it makes sense to go with what we already passed the budgets based on. Otherwise, it will provide a it will not be consistent with what the audit have been done on in previous years. It'll be apples to oranges, and so it makes more sense to formulate our central service budget on what the budgets that we passed already on. Thank you.
Madam Chair, Susan for the stack.
Or Paul for
Myla.
Wait, Susan, our Paul, Myla, and I have a question which I think it just ran out of my head. No, it didn't. I have a comment, which is Stephanie Wells was invited by me to stay for this portion of the meeting because this is still tied to the national office budget that we're talking about. So she is still in attendance. Then that sends me to Susan next, first on the staff.
Okay, great. A couple things. One, this opens up the conversation about how to handle central services. Will there be a formula? All that sort of stuff. And I think that I'm glad this proposal is on the table. It essentially looks at the reality of what we have adopted and said, how will this be managed? And I think of that as being one possible proposal. And I would recommend that we hold off on this, and I can make a motion to table, whatever, until the next meeting when we have a more thorough conversation about central services. I know I have personally asked Stephanie to come forward with a proposal. So that's the first thing, the amounts, the formula, that. The second thing is the functionality, which is the automatic deduction on a monthly basis. And rather than, the stations initiating their payments, that it seems to me is a separate issue and has to do with the authority of the ED vis-a-vis the business offices at the stations. So I I think needs to be dealt with separately. So I'm making a motion to table the consideration of this motion until the next meeting. Though I believe I also encourage that we continue to have this conversation.
Point of order.
Go ahead, R. Paul.
This is a point of order separate from anything else. A motion to table is undebatable. So if you want to debate it, maybe you want to instead of tabling, you would want to make a motion to postpone the motion to the next meeting.
Thank you, R. Paul. Thank you. Yes, that's what I mean. And thank you for making that clear.
R. Paul, are people... are we able to clear the stack before we go back to voting on this, or does having the motion on the floor mean it must be dealt with right now?
Well, the motion has to be debated. I mean, you know, in the committees, you know, sometimes things flow together. It's probably not going to be that different.
Okay. Myla, I see that you are still on the stack for your original...
Great. And I have a point of information based on this motion to table, because
to postpone
or whatever it is, I just want to say that if that means that we're not going to talk about this now, I am opposed to postponing because I want to discuss this now. Are we now debating whether or not to postpone? Is that correct?
The motion is on the floor to postpone.
Okay.
Madam Chair and Myla, as I understand what R. Paul said, if it's a motion to postpone, we can discuss the matter. So we can continue discussing it as
All
you
right.
wish to do.
Point of order.
So hold on. I've got you, Christina. Myla.
Point of order.
All right.
You can't make a motion while a motion is on the floor.
Pardon?
There was already a motion on the floor, and she's making another motion.
Who is making another motion?
Susan is making a motion to postpone. There was already a motion on the floor to pass.
So, Madam Chair, I accepted R. Paul's reframing that it's a motion to postpone and essentially withdrew the table.
Yes, but what I believe, Susan, Christina, I know you'll help me out. What Christina is saying is that her motion is already on the floor and
That's
you're
correct.
Putting a new one on. It is not, you are not amending the original motion. You are putting out a second motion.
Correct. You can't do that when there's a motion on the floor.
Oh,
you can't
boy.
Put another motion on the floor when there's already a motion.
A motion to postpone, is that not in order?
I think it is.
Not my answer.
So otherwise, our choice is to vote it down. Is that correct?
Madam
Chair?
Go ahead, R. Paul.
Okay. I'm flipping through a bunch of pages here, but basically you have a motion, a main motion. This is a subsidiary motion. This is a subsidiary motion, and it addresses the motion that's on the floor. It addresses... the motion about what we'll tell the PNB. So that's in order. It's not like it's some separate thing that's irrelevant. It is totally germane. It says take this motion and postpone it to the next meeting.
All right. So let me state back what I understand, which this is Susan did not make a whole new motion. She's making a subsidiary motion, and that is different than what we are more frequently familiar with in our meetings, when you have a motion and then you have an amendment to the motion. So the subsidiary is neither an amendment nor a totally separate motion. we're still in the range of this being in order, what Susan has brought up. Could I
will accept that, but I won't be at the next meeting. So I have a little bit, that's one of my main problems with it. But go ahead. I'll accept
that. Okay. I'm sorry that you won't be there for your own motion, Christina. So
I will be
Paul,
state.
Might I be recognized? This is Myla.
Myla, yes, you can be on the stack, but you're not up yet. Christina.
Well, Darlene. Darlene, this is a parliamentary observation. I looked this up. If you might allow me. What I'm reading here.
Christina, can you hold that thought that has just been interrupted, okay? Go ahead, Myla.
Okay. Well, I asked if a motion to postpone was in order when a motion is on the floor, and the answer I get is yes. A motion to postpone is generally considered in order when another motion is on the floor, meaning that you can propose to delay discussion on the current motion by making a motion to postpone while another motion is being debated. So I hope that helps. I apologize for pushing my way in.
Well, thank you overall, Myla. Susan, you are only asking for discussion to be postponed, is my understanding. So the motion that we do have on the floor, which will change the order in which we deal with Christina's motion, as in maybe not tonight, is Susan's motion to postpone the motion that Christina Huggins brought to the floor until the next NFC meeting. Everybody agree that's what we're about to take a vote on?
It's a motion to postpone to the next meeting.
Lyndon,
yes.
To the stack.
Go ahead. Okay, go ahead, Lyndon.
When Susan was making her motion, she said something about Christina's motion, saying that the monies would be automatically taken or withdrawn from the accounts of the station. Is that correct? Is that what is in Christina's motion?
That was in Susan's statement.
I know that.
Okay. And not.
Yes, Christina, it is. It's in Christina's motion.
Christina, do you agree that is in your motion?
I'm sort of getting lost in the river of strangeness here. What exactly are you asserting is in my motion, Susan?
Okay, let me go back to it. As I understand it,
go ahead.
Okay, the amounts are to be divided by 12. The amounts that are in the budget divided by 12. And deducted automatically from each station by the ED on a monthly basis. Isn't that correct?
That is in the motion.
Part of the motion.
Wait a minute. Let me look over my motion again because I'm not sure that that's accurate.
It's the last paragraph, Christina.
This is Myla. I don't see that in the motion. I'm reading the last paragraph. I think that let's vote on the exact language and not on some interpretation or adding something. There's nothing in this motion that I read that says that the executive director is authorized to deduct this amount. It just says that amount will be.
Okay,
correct. Not there.
It doesn't. Wait a minute. Lyndon's question was saying, is what Susan said Was she saying that correctly? That is in the motion. So where we are now is Christina.
That's inaccurate.
It is not automatically. It is not as Susan paraphrased it. So, but that makes no difference.
That's correct,
madam. Whether we postpone. I'm sorry, Christina, I did hear your voice. Go ahead.
I'm saying that you're correct, Madam Chair. It is not automatically. I don't know where she got that. It is not. That is not in the verbiage that is included in the motion. So I'm not sure where she's paraphrasing that from.
Okay. We have that information for when we take it up again at the next meeting, if we are in fact passing the motion to postpone. Are there any other questions, comments? I did have, but we got everybody, Susan, Christina, Myla, and Lyndon. Okay, we got everybody.
Christina, for the second. I would like to say one more thing.
Let me finish my sentence, because I'm not closing anything out.
Go ahead.
So all I'm saying is that we are still in a clear spot to do the motion to postpone. We've just clarified that there's disagreement or correction to Susan's paraphrase. Christina is next. Myla, you're on the stack. Christina next.
Thank you. First, there is not a disagreement. There is an inaccurate depiction of what the last paragraph states. And I would state that part of the reason that we're in such a state of financial precarity is that so many stations have not been paying their central services. And as we just heard from the ED, there are only two stations that are currently paying their central services. And the reason that KPFA was not paying the full amount for a while is because there was so much owed from intercompany transfers taken from KPFA. So
Christine,
I think
I'm going to
respond
to you.
Let me finish, please.
The motion that you propose that we may postpone. So
I'm not arguing against postponing. I'm correcting the information that was misstated and understanding that there were reasons behind. In 2006, they took $1 million away from KPFA, $1.4 million that was owed for intercompany. Could you let me finish, please?
Arpal, get back me up. Parliamentarian is argue the question means you're giving your argument. Your argument isn't properly with that motion, but we are right now looking at postponing that motion.
Okay.
You can't give it, but when we get to it at the next meeting.
That's fine. I'm fine with postponing it. I just want to have some clarity that there's nothing that stated there's something automatically affording the executive director the right to just take the money for essential services. But I'm not opposed to postponing it.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. Appreciate it. Myla, you were on the stack. We may close out the stack after you, but go ahead.
Okay. I'm going to call for a vote on the motion to postpone.
Okay, you didn't need to be on the. Okay, so if everyone has had their chance to make their voices heard on the motion to postpone, I now call for any objections. The motion is on the floor. Are there any objections to passage of the motion to postpone to the next meeting on this item that Christina has brought to?
I object to postponement.
Well, thank you for calling the question. Okay. Great. Okay. We have one objection. Arpal, does that mean we need to go to a vote?
Yeah. Let me first point out that you cannot call a question in committee, but we were done anyway. So anyway.
Well, I was on the stack and I didn't have... My question was already answered, so that I just used that opportunity to call.
Okay, why don't we just go to this? The motion is to postpone.
No, this is Lyndon. I would like to be on the stack since you're not allowed to call the question.
We are.
we would use the language that our poll prefers for the motion, for the actions that were taken.
No,
but if you'd like
I would like to have further discussion
of the motion to postpone.
Yes.
Okay, that's all that's on the floor right now. Go ahead, Lyndon. Thank you for
I did find the language, so I was able to read it for myself. And, you know, just authorizing direct oversight to the ED. And, you know, I might vote for it even, I couldn't vote twice, but I would if it was just automatically taken from these units. And that way they wouldn't, you know, be able to spend it on other things and we'd have that problem solved. But that not being the case, you know, she would have authority to direct oversight of division management. And I am all for that. I think this is a good deal. I don't think we need to postpone it. We need to get on. I don't see what's wrong with this at all.
Our Paul for stack?
Our Paul, please just give me the language. But, okay, go on stack, our Paul.
All right. First of all, if we were to authorize this isn't in the motion, but if we were to authorize automatic taking the money out, you could screw things up pretty badly for that station because they may have a bill they need to pay, and suddenly the money's gone. And if
and
the bill is payroll,
that is
really
not
screwed.
In the motion. It's
second
not
of all,
motion.
I am in favor of postponing this. That's
you,
all I have to say.
Okay, we have two people already putting their votes out. Let's just go to a roll call vote on the motion to postpone Christina, the motion Christina brought to the NFC until the next NFC meeting.
Okay.
Our call can take roll.
Okay, the motion is to postpone. Please answer up when you hear your name. Paul DiRienzo. Lyndon Foley.
No.
Kamau Harris.
Yes.
Christina Huggins.
No.
R. Paul Martin. Yes. Stephen Meeks. Stephen Meeks. I'll come back. Darlene Pagano.
Yes.
Myla Reason.
Absolutely not.
Minerva Sanders.
I'm going to pass.
Susan Young.
Pass.
Okay, going back up. Paul DiRienzo. Final call. Paul DiRienzo. Stephen Meeks.
Yes.
Minerva Sanders.
I'm going to have to abstain.
Say again?
I'm going to abstain.
So you're voting yes?
Abstaining.
Okay. Can I get a yes, no, or abstain?
Abstain.
Okay. Susan Young.
I apologize. What's the count?
Oh, 4-4, 3 against, 1 abstention right now.
Our poll, I have 3 and 4.
Well, we could go over that, but right now, Susan Young, how do you vote?
I'm sorry, I'm going to abstain.
Okay.
About whether it gets.
I have 4-4, 3 against, 2 abstentions. Is the chair challenging the count?
I am not, now that I understand where you are, and I agree that the motion passes.
Okay.
Madam Chair, this is Kamau. I have a question for the executive director.
Okay, let me just make the announcement, Kamau. So the motion passes, and we will postpone all of this discussion until the next meeting. Kamau, you have a question.
Yeah, for Stephanie. So in order for our station to strategize properly in and around the central services, the document that was sent out titled Central Services Payments Fiscal 24 indicates that PFW between April and September for fiscal 24 is not paid central services. And that would include also fiscal 25, October, and now basically November is almost over. How are you going to apply the payments that come in? Will you apply it to the oldest amount due, or will you apply it to what current fiscal year, or will you apply it as indicated by station management?
We will apply it to current because there's just so much central service that is past due. Some stations would just never catch up. So we would apply it to the month that it was paid.
Very well. Thank you.
Madam Chair for the staff.
Susan, go ahead.
Yeah. So I voted to postpone, or my motion was to postpone consideration of that particular motion. I would welcome conversation about central services. So I had asked the ED whether she would have a proposal. I think there has been some conversation about, changing major donor, from 1,000 to 5,000 and possibly adjusting the formula for central services. So I wanted to open up that broader conversation.
We have just voted to postpone that one motion. On our agenda is the next item, which is return to the topic of central services. I didn't say what we had to talk about, just that this is time for central services. Is there something you want to propose otherwise?
No, I'm actually suggesting exactly that we return to the agenda, which provides for the next conversation being a general conversation about central services.
Thank you. I'm suddenly at a loss. The stack is empty. So we passed the postponement. So to me, we're ready to go on to the next item. And also at that point, to excuse Stephanie Wells for sticking with us this long.
No, Madam Chair, if I may, the next item, as I understand it, is returning to the conversation about central services. I move to postpone the one specific motion, not to postpone discussion about central services. I would like to hear... Okay. I'd like to hear Stephanie's proposal.
All right. So we are now on agenda item 10, and we have a request from Susan Young to allow Stephanie to speak on this with something that Stephanie had already commented on, but not in the meeting. So Susan and Stephanie, do you want to bring that forward, that proposal?
So I'd ask Stephanie if she had a proposal. I don't know that she does. Stephanie can address that, or if she can say what her considerations are about central services. And let me suggest we raise the major donor level from 1,000 to 5,000 and adjust percentages so that there isn't a big change in how much central services are being charged to different stations.
All right. That would be under item A, reviewing revenue accounts.
And a major donor is one of our revenue accounts. So I believe that's in order. Do you want to keep going, Susan?
No, I just want to hear from Stephanie.
I beg your pardon. Stephanie, are you? Can you give us some information on your thinking on major donor classification?
And also on central services formula.
Well, one of the things, Susan, is it doesn't, Stephanie will correct me if I'm wrong, there isn't one central services formula. The stations, at least there's been a difference in exactly what the formula is that the station goes by. And that was why I wanted to talk about it. And Stephanie, if we'll just take one clause out of what Susan is bringing forward and say you have information or a proposal about how currently major donors are ranked at $1,000 of donation.
Well, I see it as two separate things here. I mean, the budget that we've already passed for fiscal year 25 included central service payments or central service expenses that were based upon 15% of revenue from the year prior, fiscal year 23, where we had the ending statement. So if we started adjusting and changing a central service formula at this point, everybody's budget that we already approved, and I'm the one that always says it's a living document, I know, but they may adjust, it may change those figures dramatically. So since we've already approved the budgets and those numbers that were put in the national office budget were from the central service formulas as approved in the budgets that were approved, I'm not really focusing on adjusting the central service formula. There was debate about, and again, it's not like we receive, unfortunately, hundreds of thousands of dollars per day. But if a grant comes in and it's restricted funding, anything that's a restricted fund would not have central service payments taken out of it. If that restriction is for a specific project or capital improvement program, any money that's coming in, for example, for WPSW for the move, that's restricted. KPFK is starting a capital campaign for tower repairs. Money that comes in for that, it's restricted to the tower repair. So that money would not have central service taken out of it. Grant income, it would have to be a legitimate grant that has an application, that has reports. Not even a family foundation grant, because those aren't necessarily considered grants. But again, we look at it on a case-by-case basis. It's not like, unfortunately, as I said, we're being bombarded with hundreds of thousands of dollars that are coming in, and the paperwork is just too overwhelming to look at each grant individually. Major
Stephanie?
Donors? Yes?
I'm sorry to interrupt. Two things. There's nothing in the discussion of trying to have a clean, that's my word, clean central services formula that would be applied in arrears to budgets already passed. And two, the question was only on the one revenue line of major donors, which currently seems to be using the ceiling or floor, no ceiling, the ceiling of $1,000 to change the categorization of the money sent from that particular person. So we're just asking, Susan, is about your thoughts, your opinion on major donors being set at, defined by $1,000 in total gifts.
Okay, I thought it sounded like there were two separate issues of revising a central service formula, and then the other issue is what constitutes a major donor. If
the major donor...
Myla for the stack.
Sure, Myla. Stephanie, are you still on the floor?
Well, major donor income, when we have to report major donors on our 990s, we have to report any gift that's over $5,000. So on average, usually nonprofits have their major donors at either $2,500, depending upon the size of the organization, or $5,000. And it's a one-time gift. It's not or a one-time pledge, but it's not a accumulation over the year. And if anybody falls under that, then they would move into listener support or individual donor. But it's in our, with our budget, it would move into a listener support.
So for the most part, with the IRS definition of a major donor at $5,000, our definition of a major donor at $1,000 could be up for review.
Correct. I mean, it doesn't, yeah. I mean, even if we still have our major donors, it's not that the IRS lists a major donor. A $5,000 gift is a major donor. They request that we have to list any donation over $5,000. We list where it came from, who it came from, what grant, what organization it came from. So it's not based upon, is this a major donor? It's based upon the dollar amount.
Christina for the stack.
Myla was on the stack, and then Christina. Go ahead, Myla.
Oh, thank you. I have a couple of questions. One is, is it all revenue, listener revenue? Is this consistent from station to station when the formulas that were used at all of our units in the budgets that were already approved? What I want to know is that the definition of revenue that is used, is that consistent for all stations, or does it vary from station to station? And then before you answer that question, I have to say that I was kind of taken aback when I heard you say that KPFK would be undertaking a capital campaign for our tower repair, since I believe that I had been hearing in other meetings that there was money set aside from the proceeds of the sale of the KPFK building expressly for tower repair. So I'd like you to address both of those issues, possibly tower repair first, if you would.
Myla, you just jumped to a whole other area.
Well, Stephanie brought it up, and I'm following up on what I heard. If you would allow Stephanie to answer.
Go ahead, Stephanie. Go ahead.
There is money that is set aside that we are going to be spending to replace the ice shields that are in the tower and some of the immediate needs. The overall budget of what has to be done to the tower is well over $250,000. So the discussion of having some sort of campaign that focuses on a complete tower repair, we were talking even well before the sale of the building that a capital campaign would have to be initiated or something specific just for those repairs. But the immediate needs for the ice shields and a couple of radomes that were hit by lightning need to be repaired, and we do have the funds for that.
And then has revenue been defined consistently? Revenue for the formula for the central services, is that all revenue? Is that listener revenue plus major donor revenue plus car donations? Is it an aggregate of all revenue for each station, or is it only listener support revenue? Is it consistent or inconsistent throughout the network?
It's consistent, and it hasn't included grant revenue because restricted revenue, and not bequests. We don't budget bequests, so we don't, because those are in my mind, those are restricted gifts, bequests.
Thank you.
Then Christina, if that's finished, Christina is on the stack next.
Thank you. I was sort of blindsided by this particular proposal. I hadn't anticipated it being floated today. It would have a unique negative impact on KPFA. So as far as I'm concerned, it is a dyslexic business model. By punishing success and rewarding failure, like KPFA will be uniquely impacted in a negative way if this goes through. And there will definitely be a blowback by people at KPFA, both members and staff, if this proposal is passed. So I strongly object to it, and I would propose that
Christina,
we...
point of information.
I'm going to help Christina.
Could you let me finish?
Proposal on the floor. There isn't.
I'm speaking. It's a proposal. It's a concept that I'm talking about that will be negatively impacting KPFA in particular, and I'm very opposed to it. So that's my position. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I have no idea what it is that you're objecting to, because there's nothing.
I will articulate the change. What I'm objecting to, I'm objecting to the change of $1,000 to $5,000.
There was a question of what is covered. I know that this must be very, excuse me for using a subjective word, very tense for you, but I'm just trying to say that's not what's happening. I can see that you're projecting ahead, but that's not what's happening. And I just want to, I'm just trying to reassure you.
Appreciate that, sir. I'm sorry. It's just that we have had so many things changed for KPFA. I mean, they changed the many things that made us look worse in the past. And so I'm trying to just state that I would be opposed to that particular concept that's being floated right now. So I will stop there. Thank you.
Susan for the stack.
I'm sorry, that's Susan?
Yes.
Susan? Go ahead, Susan.
Sure. I appreciate the information, and I am not making a proposal at this time at all. What I have heard from Stephanie is that she essentially, as I understand it, agrees with the proposal that has come forward from Christina. I wanted to hear if that was the most functional way for us to proceed this year, and that's what I've heard. I've also heard from Lyndon that he likes the wording in the final paragraph. I'm just saying that when we take this up at the next meeting, I will support it.
Thank you, Susan. You know, folks, it's only like 6 minutes after 10 on the East Coast, but I myself am exhausted from this meeting. So it seems a little later than it actually is to me. That said,
Myla for the stack.
Okay, Myla, go ahead.
Oh, thank you. I just for to clarify, and I think I understood you to say, Stephanie, that, for example, if KPFK undertook a capital campaign for tower repair, that would be considered, whatever money was raised for that capital campaign would be considered restricted funds and would not be used in the central service formula. Is that correct?
Correct.
Thank you.
I'm going to go back to the agenda and try to figure out. Wait a minute. I'm sorry. Are there any other questions to Stephanie on the subject of central services before we let the dear woman leave? Central services and Stephanie, anything? I'm not trying to make you come up with anything. I just want to be sure we're complete.
Well, this is Lyndon. I have a question. Stephanie may not you know, have to answer it, but if she may want to hear it, if I may.
Go ahead. You're on the stack.
What we have in our budget is 15% of, I guess, is total revenue. Now, I don't see how changing the major donor income from 1,000 to 5,000 affects that at all. Now, I think what we're going to see and what affects KPFA very negatively, looking at the numbers for this year, is that they have major donor income that is really extraordinarily high. And so I guess that's what Christina is objecting to and wanting to protect those dollars from being hit at the 15%.
Would you like to respond, Christina?
Yeah, Lyndon is, as usual, on point.
Thank you.
Now, having said that, I don't really. We're going to have a tough time when we get into some of these discussions, like having capital campaigns exempt, because that it could be abused, because everybody could have a capital campaign for this or a capital campaign for that. So I think we're going to have to, you know, do some major investigative work on this major donor situation, because, you know, KPFA is a real outlier. And I know in the past, like, you know, 3 or 4 years ago, there were people wanting to look at the central services and wanting to say, well, we need to exclude tower rent, because, you know, we live in an area that their tower rent is excessive, or, you know, our rent for our studio is so high that we need to, you know, to take that out of the formula. And so, and of course, you know, a lot of people don't pay it anyway. So we have one station here that has at least this year has substantial major donor, and they are a payer. So those are my thoughts on the situation.
Thank you. Again, the question is, has everyone had a chance to ask their questions or get explanations from Stephanie on central services? Hearing no other response, I'm going to say, Stephanie, thank you. Thank you for being, you know, there to be asked anything that comes down the line and answering it for us. And thank you for attending tonight. And I say you can go now, please.
Thank you. Good night.
Good night. Okay, back to our agenda, which has gotten a little iffy. We have some questions, some areas to discuss in more detail on, and I'm putting it as the very first item, item A, on the topic of central services, which is review the revenue account. That is what is being postponed to the next meeting. All this great discussion that we've had tonight, trying to, you know, dig into things. That's all on the revenue account, and it's on the next meeting. So we've covered that. We've gotten to everything else on the agenda, and it is 7:15 on the East Coast. I could be overruled or objected to, but I'm going to take a flyer here and say that since the estimated time of closing the meeting was 10:35 Eastern,
I'm going to say that, well, 10:15 Eastern is close enough for Jazz, and say I make the motion to adjourn at 10:15 Eastern time this meeting. And I'm sorry, this is kind of a selfish request. I'll let you know. I am getting beyond exhausted. So, yes, I'm thinking of myself a little bit here. I am putting out a motion to adjourn at 10:15 Eastern time.
Well, could it just be a motion to adjourn because the time is ticking as you talk? Motion to adjourn would be fine.
Okay.
No objection.
A motion to adjourn. Adjourn. I hear no objection from Lyndon. Anybody have an objection? Hearing none, we are adjourned.
Good night.
Good night.
Good night.
Good night. Good night. Thank you, everybody, for, digging in tonight. Thank you.